This is Outspoken, the podcast that's not afraid to say exactly what you're thinking.
Our names are Amy, Kate and Sophie Torver. We're identical triplets, but we often don't have identical opinions. So sometimes things can get heated.
Outspoken covers all things reality TV, influencers, entertainment and issues facing women.
That is so fetch.
Thank you.
On today's show, we are joined by identical twins Claire and Jessie Stevens. You may know the sisters from their smart and funny takes on reality TV or their roles as executive editors at Mamma Mia. Together, they have their own podcast called Cancelled, which topped the charts on release. Jessie is also the author of best-selling book Heartsick and co-host of Mamma Mia Out Loud and True Crime Conversations. We are so thrilled to have Claire and Jessie on our podcast. Let's get into the chat.
Officially, welcome to the show. We are so excited to have you both on.
Thank you for having us both. This is Jessie's voice, that's Claire's voice, but I think your listeners are probably really good at deciphering very minor changes in someone's voice. So I think that they'll get onto it quickly.
I know, because we've been having a bit of a laugh with you guys off mic about how this is going to be a complete head fuck for people listening, because people say we sound the same, people think you guys sound the same. I think it's a little bit unfair. I can tell you guys apart.
I think so too. And like, I reckon if you listen very closely, like I reckon Hamish and Andy sound the same.
Yeah.
But you just kind of get the roles that people play and the tone of their voice and, you know, try and use – Claire and I have been told in our podcast Cancelled to try and use names all the time. So I'll be like, what do you think, Claire? And Claire's like, I think this, Jessie. And apparently, I don't know, we've got to do more of that. That's our feedback.
Oh, same. I actually think you guys look different as well. I don't know if it's because I first saw Jessie in Mamma Mia Out Loud and then I've seen you next, Claire, because I feel like if you meet one person first, you kind of get to know them individually and then you're like, oh, they do look different.
Yeah, I think so.
I also have a theory that twins and triplets are really good at noticing differences because they've had to notice them their whole lives. So I have you know, bunch of friends who are identical twins. You know, the twins that are in Justice Crew or were in Justice Crew, John and Len, and now one of them is a Wiggle. Anyway, they're kind of friends of ours. And as soon as I saw them, I was like, you guys aren't even alike. I can tell you apart from a mile away. And it's because since we were born, we've had to say to people, I'm this many centimetres taller and Claire's the one with the shorter hair, and like you've got to always point that out, which is annoying but helpful.
I don't know if it's like the same with you guys, but I feel like it's always something that's not like an unflattering thing that people point out. Like, no offence, Soph, but for some reason Sophie used to have a birthmark on her face and it's always like, oh, which one's got the birthmark, and really focus on, and it gives you like this complex about it.
Yes. I remember somebody somebody telling me, like, oh, you've got the bigger nose.
Oh.
And I'm like, I don't, you know what? It's fine. You can think that. You don't have to say it.
And then they say to me, it's the new one. It's not new. It's kind of been our whole lives, but maybe I'm just feeling sensitive, like, post-COVID. But it's like, oh, Jessie, you're just bigger. Like, you're just the bigger one.
What?
And I'm like, I'm taller. I weigh more. Like, but must we call a woman bigger? Like, is that the kindest thing you can say?
Oh, I've copped that one taller. Too. Yeah, we've definitely copped that. And it's like, I remember we were in a newspaper article, because it seems like if you're a multiple birth, you always seem to be in the news for some random reason. And I remember there was this comment where this dickhead guy was discussing who he thought was the best looking one.
No, he was voting who was more fuckable.
Oh, sorry. Well, I was just trying to keep it PG.
God.
And it's like, really? Kate's bringing this up because she was the most voted the most fuckable by this guy. So, I mean, I don't want to say I wasn't going to say that, Sophie, but yeah.
That's all right.
Thanks for that humble brag.
Yes, it's so lovely that some deranged man on the internet finds you the most desirable.
It's so true. We get that, like, even at school, you know, Claire and I were very competitive and it was always whoever got, you know, the worst mark by one. It was like, oh, and we found the dumb twins. And I was like, oh, I still got 90. And it's like, nope, you are dumb.
I've got to ask though, with your, I mean, we call them TERS scores. I don't know if they're
ATAR scores.
ATAR, I don't know if that's the word in Sydney, but basically your year 12 results, we actually all got in 1% of each other. How close were you guys? I mean, I don't want to bring up who was the dumber one or not.
You're both smart.
Yeah, you're both very intelligent.
No, we got within 0.01 of each other.
Oh, wow.
No, Jesse, 0.2.
Is that
you got 0.5? It's funny that you would bring that up, Claire, because I was just going to ask who got the higher mark. Can you remember? Claire, who got the higher mark?
You're so annoying.
Do you know what, though? I feel like it's not just multiples, because my boyfriend, when we first met and we were just friends at this stage, he told me that he beat my TER score, and I found out that it was in fact not true, and he was like 0.45 below me. And I'm like, what? Why would you lie about something like that?
It's not only since you've been engaged that you found out that you actually got more than him.
Jeez,
as well.
I've lost a lot of respect for him in the process.
Oh, that changes the whole dynamic.
Yeah.
It's like this is a different relationship now.
Exactly.
I've got to ask you guys, talking about relationships, Jesse, you're obviously going out with Luca, who is Mia's son. I'm sure you're so sick of people reminding you this, but we find this so fascinating because it must, like, how did it all start, if you're comfortable telling us? Because I feel like we know you now. We just want the gossip. And what is it like working with your future mother-in-law?
Look, it's funny because when I first started, like, I'd been there for 2 years, I think, when Luca started. And to me, it took a while for us. We were friends first. And then when I sort of started going, oh, I think I might like this person, and had a sense that it might be reciprocated, my concern wasn't that he was the boss's son. It was that he was younger than me. Like that was the thing that to me was the big deal, which is so weird looking back, because I'm like, that was an enormous risk that I was very blind to. And then when we did start seeing each other, it did cause issues. I think that people all of a sudden, retroactively, things that I'd been doing before, like Mamma Mia Out Loud, it was like, oh, she's only on that podcast because she's dating the boss's son. And I was like, but I did that before I even met him. Like it became as though everything that I was doing was because of this nepotism, which really upset me because I had had nothing to do with media before, and even getting a job in media had been so difficult and had taken such a long time. So that was really upsetting. But I think I had this idea at the time, and Claire said it to me, you know, just put your head down and let the work speak for itself. And if you prove yourself, then and you just work really hard and you do what you love, then you can sleep at night knowing that that's not the reason why you get certain opportunities or whatever, which I think was very true. And since, I mean, it's really funny because even this weekend, like Luca's brother is having his bar mitzvah. And so I'll be with Mia all weekend and hanging out, and like I'm saying a reading at the synagogue, and it's like this real family affair. And in that context, she doesn't feel like my boss. But then we're in a meeting yesterday and she is. So it's an interesting adjustment because I obviously feel probably more comfortable pushing back on her than someone who doesn't see her nearly every day and text her all the time about, you know, a dog or a funny thing we saw on the internet. So it is a bit of a funny relationship, but we've always been really open about it. And she said, you know, the friendship and family, that's what comes first. And, you know, work disagreements or whatever will come and go, and that's fine. I think we just respect each other. So yeah, it's been an interesting time though.
Well, I definitely love hearing you guys on Mamma Mia with your little banter, like back and forth. And I've got to say, I feel like Sophie is kind of in a similar situation to you, because so this is Kate, by the way. I feel like I need
to introduce yourself, Kate. Yeah,
there we go. So I used to work, so Sophie's boyfriend, Brandon, he's 5 years younger than Soph, and he was actually my intern when I was working as a comms manager at a netball team.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so it was so funny because we were quite good friends, me and Brandon, and he's like, I think your sister's hot. And I was like, how do I take this? Because, you know, we kind of look the same. And I thought, oh, nah, there's nothing there. Anyway, so Brandon joined our mixed netball team. And then suddenly I just noticed that Sophie was interested. And it was a bit like you, Jessie. She was like, oh, you know, I'm not interested. He's too young, blah, blah, blah. And then yeah. there was this connection there.
Well, but that's the thing. I think there is such an unfair view on relationships between men and women where the woman is older. Like, I think I heard you recently speak about it on a podcast, and it's just this awful stereotype that you're some sort of cougar, or, you know, you're the dominant person in the relationship, when it's just not true.
Yeah, it's I had internalized that so much, and to think that I nearly, it's so hard to find your person and find someone that you love and that respects you and you have the same values, and so hard to find that person, and to think I nearly didn't even give it a go because I worried that people would look at an age gap is so ridiculous. Mm. And there are so many men or women or whatever who kind of think about what it might look like from the outside, and you just think all that matters is what the two of you are like on your lounge at 7 p.m. on a Wednesday, and no one else is in the room, and you know if it's right. You know if there's a maturity issue or if you're at different life stages. You don't need the rest of the world to kind of weigh in.
Yeah, that's so true. I've got to ask you, Claire, I feel like for Amy, Sophie and I, when we all started dating boys, this was when our relationships with each other started to change. And we started, I don't know, I feel like we started to get really angry and annoyed with each other because it was almost like our best friend had been taken away. I was wondering if you guys experienced that when you started dating.
Yeah, definitely. When we were sort of like probably 16, Jessie seemed to, she had a few kind of boyfriends in a row and I didn't. And so I felt really out of the loop and just like left out, and was always, but I was always kind of third wheeling. Like it would be them and then just always me. Aww. Just in the background. And that's, and then weirdly, that's how I met my current partner, was that Jessie was going out with a guy and he was like, you've got to meet my best friend. Like, you guys are exactly the same. And then met him, and 11 years later, we're still together. So aww. Work. So being the third wheel worked. So it wasn't all bad, but there was a lot of tension for us probably in our early 20s when Jessie just had this rampage of dating the worst people. And it was just horrible. Mm. And I think the wedge for us was that I was like, I don't understand. Like we've been on the same page with everything, and the decisions that we make are really similar, although we've always kind of had different tastes in guys, which probably helps. But I was like, you're with this person and I don't understand, because he is awful. Mm. And like, I don't get the appeal. I don't get why you would do that. And that's why when Jessie sort of first mentioned that she liked Luca, I was like, no, you've blown up so many things by like your terrible choices. You are not allowed. And it took me a while to come around. But yeah, I feel like it drives a bit of a wedge when it's, you're having experiences that you can't relate with. Mm. Like that Jessie was like, I don't get what it's like to be in a long-term relationship. And I was like, I don't get what it's like to date a guy who's clearly currently on drugs. Like, I don't know why you're doing that.
Oh my gosh.
That doesn't seem fun.
Do you know what's hilarious? Because before we spoke to you guys, we were trying to work out, this might sound, oh no, you guys will get it, but we were trying to work out who's who in terms of like, is Jessie more like me, Amy, or is Jessie more like Kate, or is Claire like Soph? And I thought, Jessie, this is Amy, I thought, Jessie, you were me, but now I've heard it, Jessie, you were Kate, because yeah, Kate dated
terrible taste in men.
Absolute dickhead. And Soph and I were, Claire in this situation, telling Kate, what are you thinking? And the worst thing is, because you're so close, you don't sugarcoat it. You're like, what on earth are you doing? This is ridiculous.
This guy's an asshole, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
I feel for you, Jessie.
And it's like, okay, I'm clearly having a self-esteem crisis.
Yes.
And I'm very lonely, and it's easy for you in your like long-term happy relationship. You know how people in long-term relationships, it's like, don't you ever give me advice because you don't know what it's like out there. Like, this is the best I can do right now. and Claire was just like, oh my God, I have no idea what's going on. But I think it was hard as well, because I felt like I was losing my twin, because she's growing up in this direction with Rory, her partner, and they went off and lived in Boston for a year. And I think I probably felt very left behind. Like, I thought we were a duo and now it's you and Rory, and I kind of feel like a blow-in. But it's been actually a really good dynamic now with Luca, I think. Like, the four of us are very close and it works, which probably should have been the test all along.
Yeah. I love that you guys, I can just imagine all the double dates, because like our boyfriends get dragged along to do everything with the three of us. So it's always like six of us like putting up the Christmas tree all together, and the boys are just sitting on the couch like bored shitless, and we're all like, yeah.
So and they can also like bitch about us too, like, because we have such irritating qualities, it's like they can really bond over that. Like, while we're, you know, doing our makeup or something before we go out, they can sit there and just kind of list off the things that are annoying about us, and we don't get offended because it's like, no, it's fine, you know us well enough.
Yeah.
Now, Jessie, I once heard you say on an episode of Mamma Mia that you and Claire won't stop your conversation if someone needs to go to the bathroom or have a shower. Are there any other things that you guys do that might raise some eyebrows to non-multiple birth children and people?
I think the one that we were talking about recently was we will be having a fight. Like, I'm pretty sure we've had a fight today, Claire. Like, we were getting annoyed at each other and just like, yeah, we're not doing enough of this or whatever.
This is so refreshing.
Then actually it was something that happened on Instagram, and I was like, well, this is the most important thing I've ever seen, and so I have to take a screenshot and send it to Claire and be like, okay, pause the fight, leave that.
I feel like I know what the screenshot is as well, but we won't talk about it.
You would.
That I was just on that, and I was like, everything needs to stop. I was like, I nearly pulled over my car. I was like, I just need to debrief on this.
The way Jessie was talking about it was like, this is breaking news. Like, this is incredibly important. Everything can wait. Like, this post has just gone up and I need to check if the other person has replied. And I was like, oh, my gosh, I know.
So we haven't got back to our ended. Fight.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. I don't think, I don't know, we'll pick it up next time we're irritated at each other. But it's like, we have a real sense of what's important, I think.
I'm so glad to hear this, because our boyfriends don't get it, because we will be having raging arguments. You'll be, and for some reason we always try and call mum to be referee even though we're 32.
Yes.
And mum's just like, can you just deal with it? You guys are like adults. But then something will happen, aka a screenshot photo, and everything will stop. Yeah. Everything will drop, and then the boys are just like, what is going on? But you know what's worse, because there's three of us, because you guys wouldn't have to go through this, we gang up, so like you'll think you know, like, Sophie's on my side and then she goes on Kate's side, and it's just this mental warfare. It's awful.
Yeah, you guys have to get along, don't you, at the end of the day, because it's just the two of you,
there's no one else. Like, it's
true. And I find that, like, Claire will say something and I'll be like, to Luca, I'll say, Claire just called me this, and then we kind of move over from the fight, and it's like, what Claire said was very hurtful, and I'm like, no, it's not. Don't talk about Claire. Claire's my sister.
That is so true. You've got to be kind of careful what you say, because I'll be like, God, Kate was a fucking bitch, and then I'm like, oh shit, oh sorry, I'd probably bleep that out, but I was like, oh gosh, see, this is like, Dale's gonna think she's an awful person.
Well,
if I can,
because we've learned that with another partner, Sophie, one of Sophie's exes, I think she used to bitch about Amy and I all the time, and we realized, nah, you don't carry it on with the partner, because then they end up hating the siblings. And it's like, we'll have dropped it.
Yeah. And they don't get that you don't actually hate your sister, you're just debriefing.
Yeah.
Yes,
exactly.
Every now and then, like, my partner will, like, be almost quite serious about something to do with Jessie, and I'm like, what's your problem with Jessie? And he's like, no, just stuff that you said. And I'm like, I don't care.
Oh, I love this. It's so good to hear other people saying this, because I feel like when you're multiple, people just don't get it at all. What about at work? Like, what is it? Because Soph and I, we run a business together, so we understand. But what is it like for you guys? Do you see a lot of each other through the day, or how does it work?
Not so much now, but we did. We used to, when we lived together, and kind of that was probably the first 3 or so years at Mamma Mia, we would get up, kind of get ready, usually go in with Claire's boyfriend because the three of us live together. So we'd go in together, get a coffee together, go upstairs, usually sit kind of near each other, go and get lunch together. Like, it was just so close. And we were arguing a lot at that time, because it was like you'd argue about the straightener and then it would become about the story and then the issue, because Claire recently was the editor-in-chief and I was the assistant head of content, I think. So in terms of the running of an editorial team, Claire was above me and could say, like, Jessie, I want you to do this. And that would cause issues. And then we'd, you know, fight out of work hours about it or whatever. But it's an enormous amount of time together. Whereas now, because our hours have sort of changed and we're in and out of the office, it's exciting with the podcast because we're like, oh, for that hour, we're really excited to be in a studio together, like making each other laugh. That's what we love doing. Mm. And it's kind of more special now because we're not spending every waking hour together, I think.
That's so good to hear. Do you guys fight though in the podcast studio, or is it because yes. people are around? You're like, oh.
Oh, oh no, yes. We had a fight a few weeks ago. I think like maybe I wasn't in the right mood, and we got out, and Jessie just like yelled at me and was like, "You just weren't in the mood. You just have to fake it." And I was like, "Well, you said something mean at the beginning, and then yeah. I wasn't in the mood, and then
you weren't across. We had to record something at the beginning, and you weren't across it, and I got really snappy at you, and then you were like, "Don't be rude." And this is all on mic, like yeah. we're recording it, and I'm like, "There is definitely a bloopers reel of just like Claire and I petty fighting for 3 hours that we should just release one day."
Oh, I'd be up for that.
Used as blackmail.
I have anxiety every time we release a podcast that somehow we've accidentally left a raging argument in it. Like, I'll have to yeah. get up and like listen through. I'm like, oh my God, like one day it's going to be left in accidentally and everyone's going to hate us.
Yes, exactly. And hear what we're really like, how we really speak.
Jessie, didn't that happen to Out Loud once?
Yeah, it did. They yeah. accidentally uploaded the raw file and not the edited one.
Oh my God.
And do you know what it's like? Like, sometimes when you're choosing a topic or you're talking about something particularly sensitive and you go, oh, that's not the right word, and mm-hmm. you go back and fix it, we're so careful. And so it came out. Luckily, it was okay, but we were like, there are days where if you got the raw audio, it would not be good. Oh,
like you'd, yeah, you'd be whinging about somebody, so canceled, or like, yeah, yeah. yeah.
Or you might say, like, exactly. you know, if you're talking about something, obviously the way that you might describe it to someone else might not be the way that you sort of talk it through on a podcast. Like, do you know?
Yes.
You'd be like, oh, it's this. And
I think people don't get how podcasts work, that there's so much editing involved that people would find it really funny you going from just chatting to then like professional voices. Like, I just think that would
exactly.
be.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And when it's just you in a studio with the two other people or whatever, like, you know the context, you know the stories of the people in there. When you get onto a microphone, you have to consider the stories and the context of every single person listening. So an offhanded remark or a word could be incredibly offensive to a listener.
Yeah.
And you've got to be thinking in the listener's shoes the whole time in a way you don't across a dinner table. And so we have to... We're really, we've gotten a lot better at calling each other out in a really polite way. Just like, oh, maybe don't say it that way, or that sounded like you were a little bit flippant of blah. And we know that it's in the best interests of us. And also, we never ever would want someone to listen to a podcast we make and feel worse about themselves. Yeah. Like, you've got to be so careful.
And honestly, like, I mean, we've all read people's podcast reviews. People can get angry over anything. So you always just have to think, oh, gosh, is this going to be offensive?
Well, you've got to take it with a grain of salt. I mean, I say that despite the fact that I read all of the bloody comments. And
so you're literally like, it will be 11 o'clock at night. I'm in bed just trying to like settle down for the night. And I get this screenshot from Sophie and I'm like, oh, God, what is this? And she'll be like, lovely review. And I'm thinking, is this sarcastic or genuine? And I open it. Yeah. It's just some like horrible, like abusing us. I'm like, oh, fantastic. I just can really fall asleep now.
Yeah. That's what our mum did to us recently. She was like, oh, people are very nasty on the cancelled reviews. And I was like, why are you reading them? And she just kept sending screenshots. And I was like, Mum, I made a choice not to read them. And she was like, this one's very mean. And I was like, stop it. And then she's like, how do you respond to these? And I'm like, you can't. That's you like, have to just let them lie.
Our mum always makes up an excuse as to who it must be. She's like, oh, that must be one of the influencers that you spoke about. We're like, mum, I think it's just somebody that doesn't like the podcast.
Well, I heard that your mum got quite outraged because wasn't it recently, like you guys thought your whole life that you were fraternal twins. And she was getting quite defensive over that in the Mamma Mia group, wasn't she? But then you guys found out you're identical.
Yeah. We were identical. And Mum was like, firstly, I don't care. I think this is all very narcissistic. But she was like, she just gets into that group sometimes. And again, because she's a different generation and there are different opinions and a different wave of feminism. And she jumps in sometimes and I'm like, oh, no, what has Mum said today?
She just starts shit. She just starts it.
I'm like, last name. Can you at least make up a different Facebook name?
Yeah. Jesus. I changed her name on Instagram. I logged into her Instagram and changed it because she kept messaging people weird shit. Oh, and I was like, I can't have people know who you are.
We are so lucky Oh, sorry. Your mom sounds so cute. We are so lucky that our dad has no interest in our podcast or even knows its name because otherwise he listens to, there's a radio station called 5AA in Adelaide and it's all the boomers listen to it. And he is constantly writing in like negative reviews and abusing all the people. And we're like, Dad, we work in media. Our last name's Torba. That's really not very, you know, very unique. And he's like, okay, I've started another fake account. And we're like, oh,
it's called Concerned Radio Listener. We're like, we think, Dad, they'll know it's you.
And it's like, now you're kind of officially a troll. Like, just to be negative.
I know. I told him, I'm like, you should get on Twitter if you want to get into trolling.
No,
like,
don't even give him ideas. Yeah.
No. I feel like we should probably move on to Christmas questions because this is meant to be a Christmas podcast, but we've thoroughly enjoyed talking all things twins and triplets instead. But we noticed a while back, this is really random. I think it was you, Jessie, that you were revealing, like when you're younger, the telltale signs of someone else being wealthy.
No, that was Claire.
Oh, was it Claire? Sorry, Claire. Jeez, Amy. Mix them up. Come on.
I saw TikTok recently.
Sorry,
we've
Claire.
Actually both done it. We've
okay,
both
good.
Done it. I did it years ago and then Claire recently did one on TikTok and it went off.
I very much enjoyed that. Yeah, so it's like it might be that, you know, you've got bottles of water in the fridge, etc. Do you guys have any telltale signs of someone being rich at Christmas time? Like if you're a rich family, what would you do at Christmas? Or what would they do? Oh, sorry.
That is so good.
I remember Jess and I having like a breakdown maybe when we were about 18, because throughout like school you're sort of broadly in the same social class as like everyone around you. But then towards the end of high school, you kind of meet different people and people going to different schools and all that. And I remember it was probably the Christmas when we were turning 18 and all these people we knew posted photos of their presents. And I couldn't get over it because I was like, why are there 17? I don't understand.
Yeah, I don't understand people who get more than one present.
Yeah.
Like they have all these boxes around them that are A, all wrapped the same with bows and like they're in B, they're in like actual boxes. And I'm like, who gift wrapped that? Like we get basically a, you know, pair of pajamas wrapped terribly, maybe in like wrapping paper, but more recently because of environmental reasons, it's like a tea towel. Yeah. You just get given your one thing. I'm like, since when do people get multiple presents? And then it's like, oh my God, I got earrings and, you know, I kind of think
the iPhone 13.
A new phone. Exactly. Like, how much do people spend on Christmas?
I reckon it's the multiple presents that's wild. And then also people who are able to like really deck out their entire house. I saw an influencer the other day like filming like the whole inside of their house. And I was like, every wall in your house has something Christmassy. And that's just so excessive for like, you can only do it for a month if that. So I'm like, that is just so.
No, but Claire, remember when we were kids too and we'd go around and drive around and look at the Christmas lights and we'd go to all the rich suburbs, which in retrospect were not rich suburbs, but it was always like, look at that house, and they had like so many lights, and we were like, imagine being that rich.
Oh my gosh, Claire and Jesse, I've just realized that our family was a rich family. I'm just joking.
We're not a rich family, but our family just loves Christmas. So that's like the one time of year where our parents would like deck out the house with so many decorations and lights.
Look, I promise we were taking in like chocolate bars from Woolies to the movies though as well. Like we weren't really rich. We weren't rich. We didn't have a fridge that makes ice or anything like that.
I know exactly what you mean about the when people wrap their presents in a box. I saw
we definitely didn't have that.
I saw, was it Saffron Barker was doing that, and it was all like, oh, here's this like Louis Vuitton handbag I've gotten my mum for Christmas, as well as 15 other designer things. And it's like, oh my god, you've got too much money than sense. Like, this is ridiculous.
Yes, exactly. Like, people who get really, really fancy presents. Like, there's no way in our family we were going above about $100. And normally it was just something, mum would just get us something to annoy us, like that would upset us, and then I'd just sulk all day or something. But it was not a thing.
Sorry, that just reminds me, our mum one Christmas, I think we were 21, 22, and she kept pumping up this present like, oh, you guys are going to love this. And I feel bad because I know she'll be listening to this right now, but we did not love it because she'd got our degrees framed.
Like our uni degree.
Oh my God.
And she was so excited because she was a mature age student and went back to uni, and she would have loved to have hers framed. And it was sort of, she missed the mark a little bit.
But it's very thoughtful. But as a 21-year-old, you're kind of like, ugh.
That sounds so ungrateful, but it just cracks me up that you said your mum would get you things you wouldn't want. I've got to say, do you, in terms of presents, would your mum often buy you the same thing and then tell you you had to open it at exactly the same time?
Yes, but different colours.
So it
is quite lazy. And I think that's why I just became vocally critical of any gift that she bought us from about, even last year, I think she got us, she still gets us all the same presents. And she also knows that if she didn't, I think she learnt quite early on that with twins, if you don't get them the same thing, they're just going to bitch, like for the rest of the day, about they got more, that cost more, I wanted the red one or whatever. So she gets us like exactly the same thing, and same with Jack and Nick, always has.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because people might not know, you've got two sets of twins in the family, which is pretty crazy.
Yes. We're 2.5 years different. Wow. So mum had 4 under 2.5. And so, yes, there's a kind of interesting dynamic there because it's like 2 girls, 2 boys. Mm-hmm. And yes, it was very kind of similar in terms of trolling us all with gifts. And then I think what she does now is actually buy all 4 of us exactly the same thing.
Pretty much.
Claire, didn't she do pretty well? I think last year she got us all AirPods, and I was like, this is the best gift I've ever had.
No, that was only because it was combined 30th and Christmas.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah. But then she got it for the boys, which seemed unfair because I'm like, they didn't turn 30.
Anyway. I'm going to bring that up.
I think you're extra this year.
We should start a fight.
On the topic of presents, I'm kind of interested to hear what you guys do now that you're older in terms of, like, say you're getting your mum a present. Do you guys put your money in together and buy something for her, or do you and your partners buy separate gifts that you give to your mum?
Yeah, this was a contentious topic for us.
Going together.
Every time.
Only one person has to, like, deal with the mental load of the gift. And, in fact, we normally go in with all 4 of us, and so we'll say to our brothers, hey, I'm getting mum this, getting dad an Apple Watch, transfer me blah money now. Mm. And so – we normally do that for like birthday, Christmas, Mother's Day / Father's Day.
And then the load is shared throughout the year. So it's like, you did mum's birthday, so I'll do mum for Christmas. And it means, like, I feel like we then get them better stuff. I don't know, getting dad the Apple Watch, like, that changed his life. He's just so excited about his Apple Watch. We could only get that because the 4 of us went in.
We all know it's changed Jesse's life because I always hear about you closing your rings on Mamma Mia out loud. And I'm the same. I must have them all closed. And I always show it, like, Reese, my partner, I'm like, see? They're all closed.
Kate, no one cares about your Apple Watch.
No, but Jesse does.
I do. It's so fun. It is so fun.
Well, we were talking the other day about all the responsibilities on women at Christmas time, and I think we were having a little bit of an event because when was it? On Monday, we were just sitting on our computers on the phone to each other ordering everybody last-minute Christmas gifts in the sales, and we were like, oh, so what would Sophie's boyfriend like to give Kate for Christmas? And we're like, I love that we're having to choose the presents for them. Do you guys find the same, that sort of as women, we get lumped with sort of all the shit jobs at Christmas?
Yes.
Broadly,
yes.
I reckon like we end up doing presents that we just get our brothers, like our brothers do nothing. They're just terrible. I remember last year they bought presents for the first time, but it was candles, and they got me, Jessie and Mum a candle, and then they all had stickers that said that like you got them really cheap for three. So yeah, like $15 for three or something.
Yeah. Oh.
And so I'm like, mate, take the sticker off. Like, but I do think as well it's some of the stuff I find harder is the social element of it, that I feel like as women you feel the obligation of like making sure that you see everyone and making sure you speak to everyone and that like you see all the different parts of the family and that everybody is getting there okay and everybody has a good time and all of that, that I feel like men just show up on Christmas Day and have lunch and are happy. Lunch,
yeah.
Like,
yeah, I think broadly speaking, that's the case. And even our mum has always done the presents. And so that's been kind of modeled, and even like, you know, what you're going to eat or where it's going to be or whatever. I think that hopefully generationally it will change, but I think definitely for our parents and grandparents, it's been the women organizing everything, and it is just like unpaid labor, not to mention the mental load and the hours and hours it takes so that everyone has fun. And in fact, it's the organizers that had the least fun.
Yeah.
They're stressed.
Don't you love the look of shock on your dad's face when you open a present that's from him and your mum and he has no idea what it is? And he's like, oh, is that what we got?
Yes, and dad will then give mum a look like, we spent that much? And it's like, yeah.
So you can't do nothing and then be
and
mad.
And then complain, like, yeah.
Well, just lastly, how will you guys be spending Christmas Day this year?
We are going to so our dad's side of the family are having Christmas at our auntie's place. And so we have our cousin Simon, who has an intellectual disability and who is just our favourite person in the entire world. He loves Christmas more than anyone. Aww. So he has a Christmas shirt. He is just like all G'd up. He's got his music ready. So we spend Christmas with him and that side of the family every year. And it's just so exciting because you just know that there's going to be somebody who's going to bring the vibe. Like, if you're a bit tired or you're hungover or whatever, there's going to be someone who's like, come on, presents, food, attention, music.
Simon's mother as well, who's our dad's sister, has an intellectual disability, and she's been married a few times to a bunch of interesting people, and some of them don't have anywhere to go on Christmas. So our family has always been the place where you go if you don't have anywhere to go. So it's like in this particular suburb in Sydney, you know, all of Michelle's ex-husbands and new wives come.
Aww.
And like one of her ex-husband's new wives is coming but is no longer with the ex-husband, and she just messaged us yesterday and she's like, where's Christmas? And I was like, hey, Lizzie, have a good Christmas. But
it's like, here it is. Like, and how are you getting there?
Yeah, she was like, can someone pick me up? And I was like, sure. It's so much fun.
Yeah.
Oh, well, we hope you have a great day. That sounds amazing. I just want to be friends with your cousin. I feel like he sounds like he brings a good vibe.
We get along well, just as obsessed with Christmas as us.
Yeah. He loves Christmas. He loves musicals. I've already got his Christmas present, and it's a big like collage of photos of him at all different musicals because that's his favorite thing. He likes to show people. So got that all sorted, and we're going to have to get him tickets to something, Claire, because that's what he keeps calling
Even though we've got him tickets, we're seeing Six, the musical, on like the 23rd or something, but he just, you know, he's
no,
he's like,
it's
I
not,
want
he
more.
Needs tickets on Christmas Day. We need something else, so that's what we've got to think about.
Which one of you guys is the favourite? Because I know that there's, I remember hearing that one of you guys does heaps for him, but the other one's still the favorite. No, there was that right? Or did I mishear that?
Yes. What happened was during COVID, Claire, like at the beginning, Claire was with Rory's family, which wasn't in the vicinity. Like she wasn't allowed to go and visit him, but I was. And so I would go, and his favorite thing is a takeaway coffee. So I'd go and bring him a takeaway coffee. And then he just got like super like, I love Jessie. And I loved it. I was like, this is amazing. So he's coming out of it a bit now, but we would go to every family thing and he'd like stop the conversation and be like, Jessie, how's work? Yeah. And I'd be like, thank you for asking. Aww. Like basking in the glory of being Simon's favorite. It's the best feeling.
Even I called him the other day and he was just yelling. He's like, Jesse, where's Jesse? Like, oh my God, I am speaking to you right now. Like, you are so annoying.
You know how to win him over? Just bring him some coffees and surely that will even
exactly.
it up.
Exactly. It's very clear how to win him over.
Exactly.
Well, thank you guys so much for joining us. We have thoroughly enjoyed it. I know, I feel like we
talked
for hours.
Thank you for having us. We love what you guys do and keep representing the multiples. There needs to be more of us.
We'll write back at you guys. We love your work and thank you again for being on our show.
Thank you.